What's the title of today's message? When life knocks you down, what's left? Let's pray. Lord, as we look at your word this morning, speak to our hearts and challenge us to become the people of God that you desire for us to be, that we might be molded, shaped, and formed more into the image of Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Now, we are in the final of our three messages entitled, When Life Knocks You Down. Pastor Toby preached on, I Failed, Now What? Pastor Kelly preached on, God Specializes in Plan B. And I've been given the assignment of preaching on, What's Left? Sometimes we can miss out on something because of a failure to search and to see what it is we have left. Now, do any of you remember back when you were a kid and you wanted to buy some candy or some cookies, or you heard the ice cream truck out there, but you didn't have any money to do it? Most of us did not just sit around and pray about it. Most of us went to the couch and we pulled back every pillow and we stuck our hands between every little crack. We went into the closet and looked through every old purse and pocket that had been there, every nook and cranny, until we got enough coins to pay for whatever it was we needed. And hallelujah, when we got that dime together, we may as well have won the lottery. We were so happy. But in going about and searching, we found out that there was more there than we had first thought. Now, there are going to be times in our lives when we are going to want things and we are going to come up short. I want you to know right now, sometimes it's all right to come up short, no matter what it is. We came up short in the playoffs and Cleveland is still here. You still alive, you still in church. As Toby says, we'll be back. And even if we come up short then, we will be back. Pastor Kelly preached a message on how our plans for life don't always go the way we plan them to go. How many of you can say amen to that? How many of you know we didn't set our lives out planning on getting a felony conviction? Most of us didn't plan on becoming a teenage mother. We didn't plan to lose our job. We didn't plan to fail in school. We didn't plan to get cut from the team. We didn't plan that this person that we loved so much was going to die much sooner than we thought. We didn't plan for our spouse to announce they were leaving. We didn't plan to get a divorce. We didn't plan for the crisis and the crime that happened to us. We didn't plan to be betrayed. We didn't plan to lose our health. We didn't plan to have to take care of our kids now that they are adults. Some of y'all know something about that one. We didn't plan to lose our business. We didn't plan on our family turning out the way they did. Some of us, we didn't plan on how we look now. Some of us are happy, some of us aren't. We didn't plan the addictions that would hit us or someone we loved. There are a lot of bad things that just happen to us and around us that we didn't plan to happen. Somebody even told us if we just come to Jesus and give our lives to God, everything will be fine and all the problems will be gone. And somebody even told us that God wants all of us to continuously be healthy and wealthy. And if you have enough faith, you can name it and claim it and have it. And some of us are still broke. Still naming and claiming. Still waiting. Because some people believed all this was true, they've gotten frustrated and left the faith, lost faith in God over this. But if we really looked at what Jesus told us, you'd find out that's not what Jesus said. When Jesus called us to come and follow him, Jesus never said, My goal is to make you rich and give you everything you want as a bonus for signing up to be on my team. What Jesus promised us was an opportunity to enter into a relationship with God and to be one with God, even as he was one with the Father. Jesus told us up front, this is not going to be an easy task in life. As a matter of fact, he said, these things have I spoken to you that in me you might have peace. For in the world you will have tribulations. Tell your neighbor, they coming. You are going to have trials and you are going to have troubles and nobody gets an exemption. If you live long enough, you are going to suffer either because of somebody else's sin or because of your own sin. Now, we go about life thinking that, you know, we kind of in charge of things. And we make plans to create a safe space for us. Now, there's nothing wrong with planning for the future as long as you know that your future plans are subject to change without your prior approval. God is not going to call you up and ask for permission. They will just change. You see, we believe that if I save enough money, I'll have a safe space for retirement. If I get that job with that income, I'll have a safe space for my family's level of comfort. If I marry that person, I will have a safe space from loneliness. If I have kids, I'll have a safe space for someone to help look after me when I'm old. Some of us already found out a truth. If I make that team, I'll have a safe space of acceptance at school. If I get in with that group, I'll have a safe space of friends. You see, we're all going about trying to find this safe space for our lives. David had a safe space, and it was called Ziklag. Now, David was a young man who had faithfully served King Saul. And the king was so impressed in the beginning with David's ability and David's anointing that he placed David over his entire army. And everywhere David went, he just got victory after victory after victory. And after a while, the king got jealous of David because of a little song people started singing and dancing. It went that Saul has killed his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. And Saul, like some of us, got mad.
They're only giving me a David, tens of thousands.
Forgot about David was doing all this on his behalf. So Saul decided the only thing I can do is get the kingdom. So he decided to keep him from getting the kingdom by killing him. And so he ruthlessly pursued David from place to place to place, chasing him all over the country. And David knew the only way he was going to survive was to leave the country and go to the land of his enemies, which was the Philistine, because the king had pretty much branded him as a terrorist. Now, he knew that Saul was not going to cross the borders into enemy territory. So David went and struck up a deal with one of the Philistine rulers, and the ruler gave David Ziklag, the city of Ziklag. And David was glad because he had found a safe space in which to live. And no doubt some people referred to him as David of Ziklag. Now the problem with safe spaces is that we can put our identity in them, and if we lose them, we think we've lost everything. How many of you know where you live is nowhere near as important as the fact that you are alive? You see, but if we get so caught up in where we live, the status of this kind of a home, this kind of a community, when something happens in life and we lose it, we think we've lost everything. As a Christian, we are to hold everything lightly because everything we have, we are either going to lose it or leave it behind. Hold your hands like this for a moment. Hold them like that, pointing down. Now, if your hands are pointing down, you know that no matter what you sit on top of it, eventually it's going to slide off. If you put your identity in anything that can slide off, you are going to be disappointed. Your identity is to be in the fact that you are a child of God. That's the only thing you got that you cannot lose. Your money, say my money. Your possessions. Your friends. Your career. Your children. Your position. Your spouse. Your family. And everything else you think is yours, it can be lost or it can be taken away. And sometimes the thing we hold closest and dearest to our heart, we are going to lose. And it is going to hurt. And it's going to hurt badly. But you will still be a child of God, with access to God's hope, God's strength, and God's power. Now, what do you think God wants you to be in the kingdom of God? Is it that God has just been so impressed with just how well you do everything that, oh, I gotta have that one? No. God wants you in the kingdom because God wants to be in a love relationship with you. Now, sometimes it's not enough to just have somebody with you. You want the other person to want to be with you. A date somehow is a little bit more exciting when you know they didn't pay the other person to go to the date with you. You know, that just kind of takes something out of it. You being paid to be here with me? Yeah, if the head gave me this $20, I'd be gone. God doesn't just want us around. God wants us to want to be around. You know, some of us, we think we're going to be able to impress God by saying, you know, God, I was in church. And God's going to say, yeah, but you didn't want to be there. We come to God in order to get to know God. And God wants to show himself through all the circumstances in our lives and not just the five-minute prayer time that we call devotions. You see, here's a mind game we as Christians play. We come over here for prayer. I'm going to spend 5 minutes prayer like we really doing God a favor with 5 whole minutes. Spend 5 minutes. And in this 5 minutes, God is just right there. We sense his presence. We, thank you, Lord. There you are. And then we say, amen. And we say, now, God, you stay there. I'm fixing to go live my life for the rest of the week. Bless me, God, but I'm going to go live my life. And God is saying, no, I appreciate this. But now that you've been here, now we're ready to walk arm in arm the rest of the way together for the rest of the day. Why? Because God wants to reveal himself to us right where we are every day of the week. That means when we are in a crisis, we know God is there. When we have an attitude problem, say attitude problem. Attitude problem, and we know that God is right there, what happens? You think, God is right here, and I just told them off like I told them off. If we are aware of God's presence, I saw the way you slammed that cabinet. I heard what you said when she went out the door. When we are aware of God's presence, it causes a change in us. Even when what we love is taken away. even when we don't get what we really wanted. God is going to be there with us, and God wants us to know that He is there with us. Do you know why we get angry, mad, and upset? It's not because of what they did. It really boils down to, I didn't get my own way. Okay, they might have acted the fool, but you didn't get your own way. Why? What I wanted for them to do was to behave like I wanted them to behave. Now, because you didn't get your own way, you angry and upset. Now, if it's our fault that we are angry and upset, how long should it take for us to get back on track? Just as soon as we get ready to. You know why we stay mad a long time? We think we're making somebody suffer. They care 2 cents about us, but we walk around stomping and slamming and carrying on. And God's trying to say, I'm here. I don't even want to hear you, God. The issue is not so much what am I going through right now, but rather are we being open to being aware of the presence of God? Because if I know that God is with me in this, I'm going to have a different attitude about how I handle this. If we are going to want to be pleasing to God, even in this circumstances, then we're going to change. We know that our lives are not simply about us, but rather about what God wants to do in and through us. Now, part of our problem is that most of us just want God to remodel our lives. Okay? You know what you do when you remodel? You notice that there's a crack in your wall coming down. So what do? You go get you some plaster, you paint over that thing, you sand it down, you paint it, it looks good. But guess what? What happens in 6 months? It comes back. How come it came back? You didn't fix the problem. The problem wasn't the wall. The problem was the foundation. Something is wrong with the foundation. And sometimes we are trying to pray for the wall to be fixed when God is saying, we got to tear this thing down and get all the way down to the foundation. I have people who will say, Pastor Rick, I want you to pray for God's blessing upon my family. And I'm like, okay, now, are you doing your part? You want God's blessings on your family, and you refuse to get married, but y'all living together and carrying on and doing all this, but you want God. How is God going to bless this without going down here and building the thing on the proper foundation first? God is interested in rebuilding us with what it is we have left. Now, David and his men had been called by the Philistine leader. The Philistines were getting ready to go to war against the Israelites. And this guy that had given David the city, he says, now, when we go to war, I expect y'all to come go to war with us and do your part and fight against our enemies. And David says, of course we're going to go up and fight with my Lord against his enemies. Now, how many of you know David was going to have a hard time killing his fellow Israelites, men whom he had served? What do you think David is doing? Oh, God, please show me a way out of this. Please, please, please get me out of this mess that I got myself in. You ever got in a mess that you created? Yeah, some of us been where David was. So when David shows up with his army of 600 men, the other Philistine says, wait a minute. What are these Hebrews doing here? And the guy explains, he's going to fight on our side. And they say, wait a minute. Ain't this the same David they used to say, Saul has killed his thousands, David his tens of thousands? They're like, yeah, get him out of here and get him out of here now. Because what if we go to battle and he switched sides on us? We don't want him here. Ruler goes and tells David, hey, man, the other Philistine leaders don't want us here. What do you think David is saying on the inside? Yes, yes. What do you think he's saying on the outside? What do you mean we can't go and fight? We ready to go right now. But if you want us to stay, we will stay. So David now has been ordered to go back to Ziklag. And I know David and his men were shouting hallelujah all the way home. They couldn't wait to get home to tell their families. Let me tell you how God got us out of the mess we had gotten ourselves into. And they are all excited. And that whole day was normal. Until. Say until. Until. It's them little untils in our lives that mess us up. Until they got close to the city. And they sense something's not right here. There were no scouts who should have been looking over the city to meet him. There was no sound of baa, boo from the cows and the sheep. They could smell something like burnt wood, like there had been this fire or something. And the closer they get, the more they see these blackened structures falling down. They start running to the city now. They get in the city. There is not a soul alive anywhere to be seen. Ziklag, their safe haven, the place of their identity, had been attacked and burned to the ground. It seems that the Amalekites, who were another nation, knew that the Philistines and the Israelites would be going to battle against each other. They knew all the men would be going to war. What better time for us to come and raid the southern communities and take away all the plunder and all the people? They had carried off all of the wealth and taken all of the people as slaves. Every one of those 600 soldiers, family members, gone. Possessions, gone. What started out as a regular day has become a day of disaster. All the men are crying. They're on their knees. They're crying out in pain and agony, seeming like they done lost everything. You know, when we lose that which is dear to us, we want to put the blame on somebody or something. We want somebody to have to pay for this wrong that has been done to us. Some of the men decided to blame David. You know, David, you hadn't made us go to the war with the Philistines. We would have been here to protect our families. And this would not have happened to us. You know, so often in our pain, we think, if only I had been there, I could have stopped this. How many of you have said that or felt like that? If only I had been there. We may say, God, why didn't you warn me? Or why didn't you tell me so that I could have done such and such? I remember when my brother committed suicide. I had a hard time with God not telling me what was going on. It's like, God, I know you can just give a word of knowledge. I know you could have just told me this. And if you had just done that, God, I would have been able to call my brother and talk him out of it. You know, our bad experiences are going to leave us very bitter if we don't seek the presence of God in our situation. You see, what I failed to realize at the time was I could never love my brother nearly as much as God did. And yet, God did not intervene in his action at that time from my perspective. And the reason I say from My perspective is because I don't know what God did in those final moments for my brother. I don't know what their conversation was like as he was passing from this life to the next. Some of David's men became so despondent that they wanted to organize a stoning party in order to put David to death. They couldn't see that David was hurting just like they were hurting. His family was gone. His possessions was gone. You know, it's sad when our desire for revenge or to get even in our crisis binds us from seeing the hurt our own actions may be causing to other people. You know, when you go through a divorce, it's not just those two people who are hurt. There are children who are in pain. There are family members who are in pain. There are church members who are in pain. And the longer you've been together, the more those circles keep going out further and further and further. Sometimes we find out it actually would have been easier for both of us to just go around and start doing right than to have gone through everything we went through. The scripture says, David was greatly distressed because of this talk of stoning him. But David found his strength in the Lord his God. Now, David had the same losses as they had. But David chose to become aware of the presence of God. At this point, he didn't have anything more materially. He didn't have any leadership position because they had already voted to get rid of him. But he was aware of the presence of God. You see, oftentimes, we think we can't do what we need to do because we don't have anything left. Tell your neighbor, you got something left. If ever there was a person trying to get out of doing what God wanted him to do, it was Moses. Moses came up with every excuse in the book. Some of y'all better go read Moses. Finally, God got to the point of saying, Moses, what is that you got in your hand? Moses said, what are you talking about? This stick that I picked up to climb up this hill? God was basically saying, well, what do you have left? Moses saw a stick. That stick was going to cause plagues to come upon Egypt. It was going to bring a mighty military power to its knees. That stick was going to cause the Red Sea to part ways so that they could go through on dry land. God has something inside of you or around you that can get you to where you need to be if you would recognize the presence of God with you. So often coming out of a crisis, we underestimate what we still have left. You know, you might have to start all over again. You might have to lose your home. You might have to have your car repossessed. You might have to let go of someone or something. But if you still have the presence of God, you are no poorer than you were before. Because when you had those things, you were no richer than you were before. David cried out to the Lord and he found strength for his situation. Next, he found some people who knew the Lord and sought advice from them in discovering God's will. He went to Abiathar the priest for some advice. Now, how often do we go to wrong people for advice when we find ourselves in a crisis? You know what I have found here? We have people who make dumb decisions for their lives. But you know what? They're not dumb people. You know how I know they're not dumb people? Because they know not to call Pastor Toby and I before they make the decision. Because if they was dumb, they'd call us first. And we would, God ain't got nothing whatsoever to do with that. No, they call one of you. Child, let me tell you, ain't been to Bible study in 6 years. Child, let me tell you what I do in that situation. My cousin so-and-so, she had the same problem. Don't go to somebody who's going to tell you what you want to hear. Go to somebody who can tell you, thus saith the Lord. David got his plan together. He presented it to Abiathar to see if it was in God's will. Abiathar said, yes, it's in God's will. David had a plan that he was going to go and track down whoever it was that had done this, and whatever he could rescue, he was going to rescue. Abiathar said, go for it. God says you're going to succeed. So David takes his 600 men, and they go after the people who had destroyed Ziklag. But the plan didn't go as expected. After a while, 200 men, they said, brother, we just too exhausted. We cannot keep moving any further. They were too exhausted to continue the journey. Now, I want us to see that even when we are in the plan that God has given his approval to, there's still going to be some setbacks. There's still going to be some moments of discouragement. But you still got to continue in the journey. You didn't get in debt all at once, did you? No, so don't think you're going to be out of it in 2 or 3 weeks. It's going to take some time for you to pay them bills back. You didn't let your marriage deteriorate overnight. It wasn't like y'all was so in love and then one day you was walking through and you got up and your marriage was a mess. It took you some time for that to happen. So it's going to take some time to put it back together again. You know one thing that doesn't take time? Does not take time for you to change the way you look at something. Does not take time for you to change your attitude. I don't know why that attitude problem keeps coming up. Anybody out there know somebody close to you with an attitude problem? You want to point to the person right now? Couple of honest saints here pointing in this. Pointing in this direction, most of us going. That thing can change immediately. So when God gives you a plan, stick with the plan. Expect there to be some problems in the plan, but stick with the plan. The 400 men, they continued on. They still didn't know where they were doing. And then once they looked and they saw an Egyptian. Out in the field, poor dude was about dead. They went over and they gave him some water, gave him some food. He said, 3 days ago, my master left me here. He thought I was going to die. So they all gone. And they said, well, where did they go? He said, swear you won't kill me. They said, we won't kill you. He says, well, we raided Ziklag and the whole area, and we took all the possessions, and we took all the people. And they are in that heading in that direction, and this is how long you'll take in order to catch up with them. Now, I want us to see here that when they went after them, God is just an awesome God. They are going after this powerful army. But you know what? When they got there, it was happy hour time. All the soldiers, they just drinking and partying and having a time of the day. Who is that coming down to join the party? They did not know it was soldiers with swords and spears, angry as you possibly can get. They completely wiped out that army. And when they wiped them out, the scripture says, only 400 escape, and they escape by getting on camels and taken out of there. Now, If 400 of them escaped, can you imagine how many of them there were there that ended up losing their lives? David and his men, they recovered all of their family members, all of their possessions, and all of the other possessions that the people had stolen from everybody else. And having experienced God's grace and generosity made David a more gracious and generous person. You see, if you are aware of the presence of God in your life, you ought to be becoming more gracious and more generous as a person. Because on the way back, they got all this wealth. All this wealth. Somebody says, oh, what about those 200 guys who stayed behind with the bags? And some of them was like some of us. You know what they said. They ain't getting none of this. We're going to give them their wives and their children and tell them, that's it, y'all go home. David said, no, it's not going to be like that. Those who stayed with the bags get the same reward as those who went into battle. You see, David knew something. He knew that 400 soldiers did not wipe out an entire army by themselves. You see, when I'm over here shooting my arrow at you and with my, who was watching my back? God. So that arrow that should have hit you, God just, nope, not this time. They didn't win because of themselves. They won because of God. David also took some of that plunder, sent it to this person, sent it to that person, sent it to these other rulers. He knew one day he was going to be king. He knew one day he was going to need the support and encouragement of somebody else. I want you to realize that crisis, that disappointment, that loss that you suffered does not mean God didn't have your back. What you may need to realize is that God was there all along. But you didn't welcome his presence because it wasn't part of your plan. God wants to work something in you through this knockdown of a blow that you've been given. Pastor Toby showed us that being knocked down is not the same thing as being knocked out. Pastor Kelly showed us that having a plan fail is not the same thing as being a failure in life. And I want you to know that even losing a lot does not mean you don't have anything left. You see, God loves you just as much on this side of the trial as he does on that side of the trial. And the good news about God is even if we mess up here in the middle of it, God is willing to give us another chance on the other side. So no matter what loss we suffer, what we endure, what we went through, there's always the possibility for life again on the other side. But sometimes we got to be willing to forget. Say forget. Forget those things which are behind. Press forward toward what is ahead, which is the high calling of Jesus Christ on your life. You realize that every day Jesus is praying on our behalf. I don't know anybody I would like to have better than praying on my behalf than Jesus. But it always comes back to us and the choices that we choose to make. Are you willing to let go of the past? With all its hurts, with all its disappointments, with all its bitterness? Are you even willing to acknowledge that, you know, I might have had a hand in this harm that was done as well? Are you willing to let go of everything you got that you're holding so tight in your hands? You know, probably when you die, your hand's gonna let out anyways. There will be no full coffin. Are you willing to say yes to God's plan for your life? You know, we need to stop praying, "Oh Lord, just bless my life that everything will go perfectly." Because it's not going to happen. Let us pray instead. Lord, no matter what I face today, let me be aware of your presence no matter what. Let's bring God out of the prayer closet into the realm of where we live every day. Let's give God permission. You know, God, when I say something I ain't got no business saying, just tap me on the shoulder a little bit. Pinch me a little bit. God, when I'm looking somewhere I ain't supposed to look, just hit something in front of my eyes real quick. God, when I'm listening to something that I know I ain't got no business listening to, remind me, whoa, I know you don't want to hear that. Make the choice to be aware of God's presence. When we get up each morning, let's pray. God, I want to love you as much as possible in my everyday activities. There's a way to work and love God through your work. There's a way to talk to your parents and love God through the way you talk. There's a way to love your husband or love your wife for God's sake. See, we don't have to do things because they deserve it. We do it because I just want to please God today. You know, if we go an hour without thinking about God, we went too long. How many of you know you can't stay holy a whole hour by yourself? Come on and admit it. We can't. If it's been an hour since we had a little talk with God, it's just time to repent. Start over again. And I want you to remember this. No matter how much you think you have lost, if you still have Jesus, you have enough left to make it in this life and in the life to come. Amen. Praise God, for He is good.